Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing? Okay, yeah. Everybody's just immersed in their scripture for our listening audience. You got a picture of that. We got guys sitting around the table, and everybody's reading the Word as we're preparing to share our reflections on the Word. So here it is, December 2nd. Sunday, December 2nd is the first Sunday of this Advent season. And Advent is always a time of preparation, of expectation, a time where we ought to be pregnant with expectation of the coming of the Lord. Kind of with that metaphorical language, our scripture text today looks at someone becoming pregnant, and that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so we're going to look at a little pericope out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 26 and end at verse 38, the story of when Gabriel appears before Mary. So, Eric, you want to go ahead and read that set of scripture for us?
Sure. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. But nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Very good. Very good. Okay, first responses. What jumps out at you?
Mary, very fortunate.
Excuse me?
Mary's very fortunate.
Mary's very fortunate. You want to expound on that?
She had the convenience of an angel of the Lord appear before her.
I know. I've often thought about if I ever had an angel appear before me, I'd probably pass out. Hmm. You know? I mean, go ahead.
The thing is, like, how difficult it must have been to be Mary. It's like, you know, I really wish an angel would break down my door right now and show me where God wants me to go.
Wouldn't that be easy? Wouldn't that be nice? You know, angels show up, point your finger, kind of like Scrooge, right? Mm-hmm. Just, angel of whatever that is, ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, and looking for, you know, strange accidents of happenstance and say, you know, that's just too much of a coincidence. I gotta go after that. That's where God wants me to go. And it's hard to tell, you know, what's God and what's me just going after what I want to do right now.
I think that's an excellent question. I think every all of us ought to be wrestling with, if we haven't already, and I'm sure we have. What do you think it takes to kind of determine the difference?
Probably a comfort level.
A comfort level?
Yes.
Okay, can you expound on that a little bit? Comfort in the appearance of angels or the absence thereof?
Is this a situation that's in line with God's character that is, but also out of line? Is also outside your own comfort zone.
I think you're onto something. I mean, we look at Mary, you know, let it be done unto me according to your will. I mean, ultimately, we would call this a spiritual discipline of submission. All right. However God speaks to us, if we pay close enough attention, we may hear God speak to us in our prayer life. If our eyes are open, we may see God in the actions of someone else, even in the community. If we look close enough, we may even see God speak to us through creation. And yes, maybe God does appear to us in the form of an angel, but I'm sure God's speaking to us. The responsibility of our interaction with God is totally dependent upon us. All right? And if we're paying close enough, maybe we don't pay attention because we know God's going to ask us to do outrageous things that will definitely disrupt our comfort zones. We have to respect where Mary's at. She's engaged. She talks about it. Look at her. She's a virgin. All right. You're asking me to risk my reputation. You're asking me to risk my marriage. All right. You're asking me to become, you know, fully that I may become a social outcast. Yeah. Yeah, and so I think sometimes when God asks us to do things like that, the same thing happens to Joseph. You know, as we go through our Advent study, we start talking about the Tzaddik. Same thing, we put things at risk if we're going to follow God. And, so, and it can be more convenient not to respond to that angelic voice of God's, however we encounter it. Right? Because of the demands of the risks that are put upon us.
I also think, like, I think you're kind of the point of two of, like, are we just not, we're not listening, or where we choose not to listen because, you know, the angel is a servant of God, and he's doing God's, you know, task. And we see that, I think, when we're all considered servants, so. And we're all there to do a task, and our dealers not, as servants, are we not listening to the other servants talk to us and tell us, because we don't really want, we're struggling with how we do it. How do we go forward? What's that really look like? Because he didn't give her any details, really, and he just gave her, basically, it's like a heads up. This is going to happen. And he doesn't tell her what's going to happen. Like, he doesn't tell her how it's fully going to, what's going to happen with this process, what her son's going to be doing fully, you know, like, what's that really entail? And she says she's going to have to figure that out. How's she going to go through this process? And I think that's where a lot of us are stuck. We're stuck with, we get so confused and so overwhelmed with how are we going to please everybody else a lot of times, I think. Or how is this going to look? How is this going to guide my life? Instead of just sacrificing and just kind of just releasing ourselves to just to go with the flow, kind of thing, in some ways.
Yeah.
For me, every time I go over this, like that submission, I can learn to submit easily more, but I still wrestle. I still doubt. I mean, for me, I don't know, I guess it might be things backwards, but I need to figure out the lie before I know the truth. Or I doubt, I still question, I still wrestle with things, and that's how I've come to believe, you know. So maybe, I don't know. I don't have it all figured out, but I think that's why I question things a lot, so I can look for the answers. You know, I'm not just like, for me it's not that easy. You know, it's always a fight, even with God, but he always wins, he always gets what he wants, and that's when where I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to be doing comes out. It's within that wrestle. That's when I find out. You know, sometimes in my faith walk, am I just taking my time taking the scenic route, or am I being a cynic? You know, do I even believe some of the stuff I own say? Does it really come out in my own life, in my own walk? So I'm constantly, you know, my Revelation says he wants you to be hot or cold, not or lukewarm water. But to be not that lukewarm water, I think that's the teeter-totter, that's the wrestle, to find out which side, you know, for me. So mine's always been a fight, though, so I don't see it now being, I'll never, I'm always moved or put in even more uncomfortable situations He's all about, you know, keeping me in the fight, keeping me on my toes. You know, just when I think I'm getting comfortable, I'm never comfortable. You know, just always, shaping and sharpening. You know, just when I think I get in a spot, things okay, I got this handle. Well, this is going good. This is what it's supposed to be. It shifts, and then I go, I get thrown into something. It's like, but from what happened before, the month before, or months. I already know these storms. I've already went through it, so it's making me. And I know that he always will prepare. He's always with me. He's within me. And I always come on the other side of these storms, so it's just like, here comes another one. You know, I think it's, that's why.
Submission's difficult for us.
Yeah.
But the Bible is laden with all kinds of stories on how it's supposed to be. I mean, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, basically, right? They refused to submit. We got it asked. I think of the story of Jacob and the messenger wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And Jacob is really, you know, he wants to have his way. But when he finally does submit, what happens is he walks away with a new identity and a sense of physical deformity, right? He has a limp. Both of that means there's a change takes place, all right? A change is going to take place in Mary's life. When we see Jesus, whether he comes up out of the baptism or he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and all along, he's submitted to the authority of God. And there's transformation that comes out of that. He calls all of us, including the apostles, that if you're going to follow me, there's going to be a change. Right? This submission necessitates transformation. Then it begs the question, how much do we really want to transform? Well, I'll transform this much, so I'll submit equally that much. But the rest of this over here, you know, I kind of want to keep this. Mary's not. She's giving up everything. Absolutely everything. Joseph may not take care of her. Right? He's got to go through her head. He may no longer, you know, right, really, I can walk in here in a couple months and my belly's showing? He may run out on me. Who's going to care for me now? All right? A security question.
I mean, it doesn't say it out there, but just naturally, you think, I mean, any good believer's a doubter. You know, they had questions amongst each other. I'm not saying they're shaking their fist at God too much, but yeah, we all have these. I mean, through the whole program I was in here and all that stuff, a lot of questions. I mean, you know,
sure.
Seriously, you know, like, I, you know, this, you want me to do this? You want me to be here? Well, I got to do this. You know, this is what the right thing is. You want, even with a conflicting at points, like, how is this a God thing? You know what I mean? Like, and I've seen other guys come through with the same questions, but you fight through it and you find out it is. So it was a preparation. I could have bolted a year and a half ago and got a better job and got back and, like, you know, sped up the divorce thing, dog. But you know what? I wasn't ready maybe a year ago. So you have, you know what I mean? So somehow it's had to be prepared within me, you know, to be a better father, to be. So that's why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm still getting doors shut in my face. Right. But anyways, I'm still pushing forward because there's something within this process that I need to do. So.
Got anything you want to share?
Yeah, this one speaks to me a lot about, Martin hit on it on one of the points, about comfort a lot and about strangers a lot. It's kind of, that bit in Hebrews is kind of ringing in my ear after reading this. God's going to speak to us through uncomfortableness and through strangers. You know, it's how that go in Hebrews, it's, you know, be kind because you unwittingly entertain the angels.
Mm-hmm.
by being kind to strangers, opening your heart, your doorstep, whatever, to strangers, becoming neighbors with those strangers. This comfort level is not the spot that we find growth and we find God in.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.